Kia ora, my name's Gareth.
And I'm Roger.
And together we're from Walk Tours NZ. And welcome to this four-part podcast series called Out on the Streets, Pride and Place. This is a four-part podcast looking at how we create rainbow walk tours, from dreaming and planning to walking and reflecting.
So what's coming up over the four episodes?
Well, in episode one, we talked about why walk tours are so fulfilling. We stepped through the history of Walk Tours NZ and began to start the process of creating a new tour.
And in this episode, we'll look at researching and writing, identifying tour stops and ways of handling tricky topics.
Then, in the next episode, we'll look at promotion and marketing, managing registrations and enhancing the tour with things like visual flipbooks and audio clips.
And then, in our final episode, we'll look at what happens on the day of the walk tour and how to manage participants and reflect on some of the exciting outcomes that we've experienced through running walk tours.
So, today's episode is called Mapping Meaning, and it's all about researching, writing, and identifying our tour stops. So, firstly, Roger, what are the key ingredients for you for a good walk tour?
Well, walking, for a start,
good one.
But also interesting stops, compelling narratives, an engaged, friendly group, and engaged hosts.
I think after doing a walk tour, a lot of people, and certainly I do, come away with a whole variety of feelings and knowledge. So one thing is people take away knowledge from the tour, but they also take away the passion of the tour guides and also the embedded emotion in the narrative that you talk about. So people learn and remember differently. And so it's not about just throwing a lot of information at people, because that's not how a lot of people learn.
You want to think about how you can turn pure information into a compelling story that builds through the tour as a whole.
Well, let's get started by thinking back to that first episode where we visualized the walk tour and also the type of audience that we were looking at. So we talked about the group size, and for us, it's around about 20 walkers, which is ideal.
We also looked at the duration of the tour, so the number of stops, the time at each stop, and the distance between stops. We found that 8 5-minute stops, that's 40 minutes of talking, plus about 40 minutes of walking, makes 80 to 90 minutes all up.
I think we realised that the makeup of the audience can be incredibly diverse, and you just don't know who is going to be on that walk tour. So you might have international visitors who don't have any context about local events or politicians. You may have members of the general public who aren't part of the rainbow communities. But the great thing is they are all coming on the walk tour to find out more.
So with all that in mind, we first need to think about the overarching topic of the tour. Is the tour based around particular anniversaries, like a tour to mark the 40th anniversary of homosexual law reform?
We've done tours around clustering geographic locations. So, for instance, in Wellington, around the Cuba Street precinct.
You might be highlighting a specific individual. For instance, we've done Carmen Rupe walk tours and maybe a Georgina Beyer one.
There's also, you can group things like around a particular theme. So, for instance, we've done a tour about not-so-straight artists.
Or even a general introduction tour, like a Queer History 101.
The overarching topic and how you name it is what will catch people's attention. So, for example, the Carmen Rupe tour is called the Fabulous Carmen Walk Tour, Tea, Toasties and Trade.
And we'll talk a wee bit more about the promotion and marketing of walk tours in the next episode.
So the next step is to learn as much as we can about the topic that we want to cover, and then it's really about focusing it down into, for us, it was 8 walk stops, each lasting around about 5 minutes.
So this involves researching, writing, focusing the story, and repeat, distilling down information.
And that whole thing of just repeating the process again and again and again until you've actually come down to the kernels of actually what you want to impart to people. What comes first, Rog? Do we identify tour stops or do we write the narrative?
Well, it depends on the overarching topic. For example, if the tour is about a cluster of geographic locations, you may want to start identifying the stop locations. Whereas if it's a tour about an individual, you might want to think about 8 key narratives you want to tell and then fit them to locations.
Of course, you could also do these two steps in parallel. And really, don't be afraid as you dive deeper into the topic that you will adjust the stops or the narratives. It's a very fluid kind of creation of the tour.
So for this podcast, let's begin by looking at identifying walk tour stops.
I think firstly, look at practicalities.
So the duration between the stops needs to be a total of about 40 minutes of walking. That means if there are 8 stops, you only want to walk for about 5 minutes between each. The first stop should be easy for walkers to find. So pick a natural landmark that people know for the first gathering point, for example, Civic Square in Wellington.
Also pick an end point. So this could be potentially the same as the starting point, so you kind of walk around in a bit of a circle, or it could be another part of the city. Key advice is to stick to public spaces. Unless you have permission from the private property owner, you want to be on public land. This also includes things like getting permissions from local authorities. For example, in Wellington, Karori Cemetery requires an event permit to actually have a tour through the cemetery.
And you want to think about the weather and how that might affect the tour stop. Is there any shelter from the wind or the rain or the sun even?
Think about noise around the tour stop, particularly if there's heavy traffic noise. Will the walkers actually be able to hear you?
And you also want to think too about the surface that people will be stopping on. Is it uneven pavement? Is there an incline? Is the pavement too narrow to accommodate the tour group and passers-by?
There is so much to think about, but we don't want to put you off by thinking I've got to remember all of this information, because actually the creation of the walk tours is very organic, and I think as you create more and more walk tours, this will become second nature and you won't even think about it. It will be very much more about looking at the narrative structure of the tour.
Okay, so let's do some basic brainstorming.
Whew, okay, brainstorming. So what about writing down any names of people, places that could still be existing, or they may be in the past and don't exist anymore, or events that you already know about that could be potential stops?
Then use rainbow history publications like Chris Brickell's Mates and Lovers. There are things like old rainbow magazines, Pink Triangle and Out, and look at some of the advertisements there, for instance.
Many of these are online, particularly things like Victoria University's Salient Student Magazine or the Feminist Broadsheet Magazine, and both those magazines have got a lot of adverts from the 70s and earlier, which you can incorporate into stops. I should also do a bit of a shameless plug for PrideNZ.com. Pride NZ has got a very rich map of locations, particularly in Wellington, so that's a great starting point.
Something else to think about is, does the location still contain physical heritage you can talk to? For instance, if the building's been removed, are there photographs you can show as to how it used to look?
And remember, if you can't identify any specific locations that are potentially tour stops, you could think about springboard locations. So a springboard location is, for instance, you're standing outside a public library, and this gives you the opportunity to talk about a local author or a local publication. Standing outside a courthouse gives you the opportunity to talk about crime or the justice system.
Okay, so you've got a basic idea of the route. The next thing to do is do a test walk and time it. Walk slower than you normally would, and imagine, say, 20 people walking behind you of all ages and abilities.
And this is where we really need to start focusing. So at each stop, we need to say to ourselves, why are we stopping here? What stories can we tell?
If you can only say 5 key things at the stop, what would they be?
Keeping that in mind, we need to remember, how much context do we need to give for international, national, local participants?
How can you tie the stories at the stop with the previous one or the stop coming up? Sometimes you don't need to, and that's okay.
Also think about local history versus international history. So while international movements have really shaped our local history here in Aotearoa, we're not the US and we're not the United Kingdom. So our history is unique. So we really need to, for our walk tours, think about what was happening locally, and then how did the international events change what was happening in this country.
Even if you're going to deliver the tour without holding a script, it's a really good idea to write one and practice with it in the first place.
And really think about writing in bullet style. This is so not necessarily full sentences. These are just ideas. These are memory joggers. Because if you're writing a full script, it really is very enticing to actually read it.
And it's a good idea too to write as you speak. Remember, you're speaking in public too, so adjust your language and content.
I wouldn't swear.
Good idea.
You never know who's in the audience and what relationship they have to what you're saying. So again, this comes back to respect, and it comes back to how you shape your narratives and the language you use. I think we'd limit the number of dates and statistics and people's names. Now, these are really hard for people to remember, particularly if you've got lots of them.
And these are all really good things to think about. But also think, too, about using short quotations and visually back up what you're saying with things like visual flipbooks. But more about that in the next episode.
Well, let's now talk about some potentially polarizing subjects.
We should first recap from the first episode what we're aiming for here, and that is that we want to create a safe and inclusive event for everyone attending. So that means aiming for a safe, welcoming and accessible experience.
We want to consider the emotional impact of participating in a rainbow event in public.
Now, promote respectful storytelling. You don't know who's in the audience.
And you want to signpost sensitive or challenging content.
And it's a good idea, too, to have a strategy for handling disagreements or difficult moments.
So with that all in mind, we would suggest really keeping focused on your overarching tour theme. And this means, certainly for us, it means staying away from talking about more generalized politics or religion, to flashpoints.
So, yeah, focus on historic stories versus contemporary stories. Contemporary stories can be problematic as they're prone to generate diverse opinions. For example, we wouldn't necessarily write a stop about the involvement of police or defence forces marching in Pride, for instance, as there might be multiple differing opinions within the group who are walking with you.
However, you could potentially tell a historic story that comments on contemporary issues. For example, in the case of police, you could look at how the police related to rainbow communities in the 1980s and then throw forward to saying, well, how are police nowadays?
And another example is language use. It's important, if you're using language from a different era, to note why you're using it. For example, saying Georgina Beyer was a transsexual trailblazer, this will not be helpful, but instead say something like, Georgina Beyer self-identified as a transsexual. So this qualifies why we're using the word transsexual and is honouring how she self-identified.
Now, pronouns are another issue that have only been raised a couple of times on our walks over the last 8 years, and we've had one or two walkers question why we don't refer to someone's birth name and gender at birth. So as a host, I think where both Roger and I have landed is to be respectful but firm, saying something along the lines, at this time, on this tour, this is what we're doing. Like, we're honouring the people and how they self-identified. So we're only touching on parts of their lives, and if you want to read more about them, there's always the internet. I think the key is you don't want to get into a debate. You don't want to cause ill feeling between the walkers and the walkers and yourselves. You actually all want to get on and have a good experience.
And what about balancing light and dark stories? Many historic situations involving rainbow communities are interwoven with the justice system. And this is because crime, or being a victim of crime, was one of the primary ways newspapers highlighted rainbow individuals, but not necessarily in a positive way.
So I think we've tried to rebalance the overall tours. We might have dark stories, but we also have stories of resilience and perseverance to really bring out that kind of light and shade.
It's important to signpost before you start talking if it's a hard story. So, for example, a tragic death or a suicide, and limit the amount of graphic descriptions.
Again, that comes back to we just don't know who is in the audience and we don't know what experiences they've had. So that's really fantastic advice, Rog. Thank you.
So what if the tour stops at a geographical location, but the building no longer exists? How can you conjure up a mental image for the walkers?
We might leave that for next time, because next time we're talking about marketing, promotion, flipbooks, audio that we can incorporate into the tours, as well as other things like handouts. So join us again for episode 3.
Ka kite.